Just want to pray for all those who are doing it tough this time of year. I know that some people, you know, your work schedule's been crazy. Some others are dealing with some loss or some sadness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for 2022, for all the good things that have happened. And Lord, for all the things that have been difficult, we bring those to you. Pray now for all those who might be struggling in some way, Father, that your comfort and your strength, your presence be with them. And into this new year, Lord, may we walk confidently in you. Help us to support one another. We thank you for your grace, which will never go away, which is always amazing. Lead us into 2023. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, at the end of the message, we're going to be sharing in communion. So you might want to get some elements, some bread, a cup, just to share together in remembering Jesus at the end of the service today. So here we are. We've had our Christmas services. The manger is empty. It's kind of got the gifts that were there from the wise men. But Jesus is not there. He's gone. He's grown up. He's moved on to do the things that God has called him to do. Christmas really is about realizing the blessings. God has given us so much in his Son. We experience forgiveness. We experience his grace. All the promises of God come through him. But after we've begun the journey, after we've experienced Christmas, experienced Christ coming to us, what happens after that? That's really where I want to go. I want to start talking about, after we've started our faith journey, how do we take our next steps? Where do we go from there? I wonder if you recognize this game. So I'm going to put a picture of a game. You might recognize this as Space Invaders. I wonder if anyone grew up with that video. That was the game of my teenage years. The aim, you've got these invaders coming down from space and you've got to protect the Earth from them. You've got this little base at the bottom which can move from side to side and gets to shoot bullets. But it's fairly limited. You can't do a lot, but it's quite challenging. The wave after wave of the enemy keep coming. You get three lives, but each time the invaders go across the screen, they jump down and get closer. So they keep jumping down like this, and when they get the bottom, you've been invaded. That's the end of the game. So you do your best, and even though you might clear a screen, you might actually get some and they'll reset, you'll clear a few screens maybe, it just gets harder and harder. The enemy gets closer and closer. The game becomes more and more difficult as you go until you're finally overwhelmed and inevitably you die. You're invaded by these things from space. Survive as long as possible before your inevitable death. That's kind of how the game works. That was most of the games of the 70s and 80s. In contrast to this, there are other games we call RPG or role player games. In these sort of games, you might do them on a computer. You can also play them on a board. You take the role of a character and you start off at the start of your journey that you haven't got much experience, you haven't got many items, you haven't got a lot. You start off on simple adventures or simple challenges. When you successfully navigate one of these challenges, you go to a level up. So this is what a level up looks like now. It looks pretty impressive, doesn't it? I'm not sure what that game is, but it's a pretty impressive level up. At the end of the challenge, look at that, man, you're getting all this power and strength and all these new abilities. Maybe you can run faster. Maybe you've got this new weapon. Maybe there's a massive increase in power and strength. So think about the contrast. Let's have these two games side by side. Have a look at the difference between Space Invaders and the game where you can level up. In one game, it just gets harder and harder. In the other game, every time you face a challenge, you get a new power, a new strength to go on and face more challenges. When it comes to faith, when Jesus calls us to follow him, does he give us a journey like the Space Invaders game? Or is there a possibility that we can actually level up on the journey? Is it that it just gets harder and harder? The Christian life is just about toughing it out until you inevitably die? Or is it more like an RPG? Over time, you receive blessing, benefit, maybe gifts. You can actually increase your capacity to live this life. Two options. Is following Jesus more like Space Invaders or like a game where you can level up? To talk about that, I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And this scripture, I think, addresses the idea of leveling up. So let's go the first part of this scripture. I'm going to start in verse 5. So it says this, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." See what Peter's saying here? He says we can add to our faith. In the language of games, I think that's the language of leveling up. We can level up on this journey. What it means is faith, the journey of faith is not just about struggling through, getting harder and harder until we just perish. We can level up. There's a process of actually increasing our capacity to walk with Jesus. It's not that there's no enemy, nor that there's no struggle. But we're not destined just to stay the same and struggle away with the same capacity we used to have. The life of faith is more like the second type of game, more like a role-playing game. We start with the basics. We start with just trusting Jesus. That's salvation. That's the first step in the journey. That's like Christmas. God has given us his Son. Our sins are forgiven through him. And we go through the life of Jesus. We find Easter. He dies for our sin. And then he rises and we have this promise of eternal life. And then the Spirit is given. We have this new power from God. Faith is the beginning, but it's not the end. There is leveling up to do along the way. There'll be changes in us. Things will be added to our faith as we go. So what does Peter say gets added? He says goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection and love. They're like character traits, parts of our personality that get transformed. People who hang around Jesus, the character of Jesus is transferred to them. The attitudes, the way he is in this world, we can learn those things. We can level up. We can add to our faith. The fruit of his life grows in us when we surrender to him, when we follow day by day. We give up our own plans and purposes and we start to take on his plans and purposes. That's leveling up in our faith journey. In my job, I do things publicly. You know, speak, have to do all that sort of stuff. But you might not know this, but a few years ago, I was very, very scared to do that in public. I remember being in high school, I was scheduled to be in a class debate. So everyone in a class got scheduled to speak for a couple of minutes on, you know, to prove a point. I can't remember what the topic was, but here I am, I'm scheduled to speak on this day. And because of the internal struggle I had to do that, wag school that day. Just couldn't face the challenge of speaking in public. Now, it wasn't that I couldn't put words together, it's about what's going on the inside. Fear, insecurity, all the stuff within that was stopping me from being able to do something like that. It wasn't until a few years after school, I joined a life group. Little by little, in that group, we shared, people encouraged. There was something going on in that space. Talking to people, hearing what they said. I was affirmed and encouraged by those people that helped me work through some stuff on the inside. And one day I remember as a group, we're listening to a recorded sermon. And the person who was speaking said these words. They said, "Have you ever excused something in your life on the basis that that's just the way I am?" And I heard those words on the sermon. I had a flashback in my life to a time a few years before where I was at uni in Sydney. And I was talking to someone about why I was shy in my life, why I didn't do things publicly. And I spoke those words. "That's just the way I am." And I realized in that moment something, I just had a realization that that's the way I was, but it wasn't the way that God had made me to be. And so I prayed a prayer. I said, "Lord, sorry that I've become not what you made me to be, but this has stopped me from being the person you want me to be." And after that experience, and along with the encouragement of that group of people, something happened, and I was able to start beginning to do things in public, which I was absolutely terrified of before. That was a significant journey. As I say that, I wonder if there's anything for you. I wonder if there's anything in your journey where there's a struggle and you feel like that's just the way I am. I've just made that way. Maybe it's not that God made you that way. There could be difficulties have come, struggles have come, hurts have come, fears have come, lack of confidence, being unsure of yourself. There's all sorts of reasons why we become limited in these ways. The point being, this is not how God's made us to be, but it's how we've become. We've taken on ideas and beliefs about ourselves. But if we're in that place, we don't have to stay there. We can move forward. We can come out of those places. We might need the encouragement of others. We might need to work through things, talk with people, get them to speak into our lives. We might need God to level us up. We might need an experience where the Holy Spirit somehow moves us forward in some way. And maybe it's all of those things. The point is, when we get stuck in a place we can't grow, we can level up. Peter says we can add to our faith. We don't have to just be in the, it's not a zero-sum game. We're not just stuck without being able to change, without being able to add to it. Now, for me, if I think about the list that Peter gives, it's probably the area of self-control. And we think about self-control, we think about don't eat too much, don't drink too much, control your life in that way. But self-control is not just about that stuff. I think it's also about controlling our thoughts, getting fear under control, getting the voices that tell us we can't do these things. That's part of self-control. And this is one of the challenges, to add to our faith, self-control. We may not have to stay the way we are. We may be able to be transformed. God can bring change over time. We can grow. We can level up. We can add to our faith, as Peter says. Let's go to the next part, verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So Peter talks about increasing these things, having them in increasing measure. It's a growth thing. It's a leveling up thing. There's an increase in our capacity as a follower of Jesus. Leveling up. You know, if I've been a Christian for 20 years, however long I've been a Christian, we should be able to see some signs, some noticeable growth over that time. There'll still be room to grow. We never get to the end of the journey, but we should have been able to look back and say, some things have changed. There's been some additions of some good things in my life. There's been some leveling up. I've added to my faith. Next year, I want to go forward. I want to think about what changes can occur in the new year, in another 12 months. Like a game with these increasing levels of complexity, our Christian walk is one where we move forward, we level up, we add to our faith. We increase our capacity to follow Jesus. And if Peter tells us, if this is not happening, if there's no leveling up, no growth going on, no adding to our faith, he says, we've forgotten the basics. We've forgotten we've been cleansed of our past sin. We've forgotten we're on a different journey. We're not who we were in the past. This moving forward, taking on the good things in increasing measure. Peter says, this is what keeps us from being ineffective and unproductive, because we keep moving forward. Let's go to verse 10. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter says, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. Now, he's not saying make all these efforts so that you can be called. The calling is a gift from God. Our salvation's just by faith. We can't earn that. So he's not saying that. But he's saying that as you move forward, you can level up. There are good things to add to your faith. We start with faith, then we add in these other things. And that confirms our calling and election. It doesn't create our calling and election, but it confirms our calling and election. It's like being married. when you're married. You're not married because you have a good marriage or because your marriage is growing. You're married because something happened in time. You made a commitment. You made a covenant with someone. That's the basis of the marriage. But you can experience marriage in increasing ways. We can grow in our relationships. Of course, things can go the other way. We can have difficulties in our relationships as well. And it's the same with our journey in Christ. When we're not leveling up, it's like being in a relationship that is stuck. It's not going forward. We're stuck somewhere. Something has stopped us from moving forward. And we don't have that sense of joy and confirmation in the relationship. We might have a sense of difficulty. It could be a drudgery. But God wants us to have this confidence going forward, this relational connection and growth. I do a bit of bike mechanics. In fact, I used to work in a bicycle shop. When you change your bike tire, you've got to be careful that you don't put it on the wrong way around, because sometimes there's an arrow and sometimes it's the tread pattern, because the tire only goes on one way, or many tires only go on one way. And if you put it on backwards, you won't get the effect of grip. The water won't go out the right way when it's wet. You'll lose grip in the wet. You'll wear the tire more quickly, and you'll also cause more friction, and you'll actually have to go slower or use more energy to get going. And I think the Christian faith is a bit like that. There's a certain way. It's meant to go forward. If we go the wrong way, it just causes difficulties. It's not meant to be static. You know, there used to be a word. People used to talk about this word, backsliding. Not a word you hear a lot now, but the idea was that you get to a certain point in your faith, and somehow, maybe it's a headwind or maybe it's icy, I don't know, but you slide backwards. You're not moving forward anymore, and we talk about backsliding. Not meant to be like that. It was always a bad thing, this backsliding. We move forward. We're meant to level up. Peter says, if we do that, we'll never stumble. While we're moving forward, the problems actually come when we stop or start moving backwards. Move forward. That's where we don't have problems. We stumble when we start moving backwards or stop moving forwards. God holds us up. He stops us from stumbling. Again, there's an old song. You know, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. He delights in their way. Though they fall, though there's a stumble, they'll not be cast down. They'll not be on the ground forever. They'll get up and they'll keep going because the Lord upholds them, protects them from falling. So if you do this leveling up, if you keep growing in our faith, it says we receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does a rich welcome look like? I think it's probably the opposite of a poor welcome. It's the opposite of a bad welcome. I think this is similar to what Paul talks about. Have a read sometime of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And in that chapter, he talks about we're all builders and we're all building things in our lives. And we build with different materials, and we build with gold, silver, or precious stones, really expensive things. So we're building this valuable thing, or we build with wood, hay, and straw, things that are not valuable. And Paul says that it's like, I picture it being like an airport security. And at the end of our life, we bring in a wheelbarrow everything we've ever done. All the stuff, all the decisions, all the things we've ever done, we pull it up into this wheelbarrow, into this scanning thing at the airport, and the scanner gets turned on, and it's in the form of a fire, and the fire lights up, and everything in the wheelbarrow is in flames, and you push it through, and out the other side the only things that survive are the gold, silver, and precious stones. The wood, hay, and the straw, it was all burnt up. And that's the reward. That's what we take with us into eternity. The things that we did trusting in Jesus, they get through the scanner. They get through the fire. Other things gets burnt up. They might not be the impressive things. It doesn't have to be fantastic for others to see. It's the things that we've done for God, that we've done trusting in Jesus. Might just be small things. Might be things that you do with your family. Might be things that you do with others that nobody sees. But they're done in faith. Their gold, their silver, and their precious stones. You take them with you forever. I think Peter's saying pretty much the same thing here that Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 3. There is a rich welcome waiting for us when this life ends. And the deeper we go into Christ, the more we add to our faith, the richer that welcome is. Maybe it's like students. A lot of students have just finished year 12. So let's say the whole cohort gets through. But some of those students are getting scholarships. Some of those students are getting entry into the courses. And you know, sometimes it's because they won the lottery. It's like, you know, they had the right parents. They had smart genes, and that's great. But for many of them, and probably most of them, it's been hard work. They've worked, and they're getting a reward for what they've done. Not all the students will do that. Everyone will get through, but some will get rewarded. And I think it's a bit like that, the type of rewards, the type of welcome that we receive. We all get welcomed, but some people get a welcome that's a little bit more complex or a little bit more rewarding than others. Okay, I want to go back to the verses at the start now to read the first few verses of this section. I know the idea of moving forward, of leveling up, it can be a challenging idea. If this is what Jesus calls us to do, if we're called to add to our faith, to move forward, to level up on this journey of the Christian life, what resources does he make available to us? So let's read verse 3. It says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he's given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires." So what resources does God give us for the journey to level up? Well, Peter says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. So actually we have all that we need. That's quite a profound thing to say. It means that if I'm experiencing a lack, don't feel God's given me enough, the problem is not at God's end. He has provided all we need. Something's going wrong at this end, at the receiving end. Two amazing things come out of this. First one, I'll deal with the second one first. It says, we've escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Something happened when we became Christians. Not only did Jesus die for me to forgive me of my sin, which he did, and that's fantastic. We also read in the New Testament, when he died, I died in him. So the person I was on the cross, I actually die when he dies. So the power of the old life is put to death in Christ. I couldn't overcome the sin in my life. He forgives me of it, and I find it hard to overcome it. And he actually died, and I die in him. So there's a death that takes place where my old life is put aside. In this new life, I've escaped the corruption in the world through evil desire. Leveling up, I think, means moving forward, not going back to my old life, not going back to my old habits. Now, to do that, I'm going to need people around me. I'm going to need encouragement. I'm going to need people to speak into my life. Maybe challenge me sometimes. Encourage me. And I think I also need to be listening to the Holy Spirit. Times when he's going to give me what I need in a moment of temptation. He won't leave me there. He'll give me what I need to get through. So I can move forward rather than sliding back. And the first thing it says, through his promise, I can participate in the divine nature. That's a pretty amazing thing. Here I am as a human being with flaws, sinned many times. And Peter says, as a human being with all these flaws and failings, I get to participate in the divine nature. I get to share in the life of God. In fact, God's life, through what Jesus has done, he's rising. He passes the Holy Spirit to me. So the Holy Spirit comes, the life of God comes into me. I get to participate in the divine nature. I don't deserve that, but God's gift is that he comes to us. His life comes into us through the Spirit, his grace and his mercy. I can participate in his life, in his divine nature. So he convicts me. He sensitizes me to what is right, to what is wrong, to what is caring, to what is loving. He gives me a new heart. He gives me new desires to want to do his will. He enables me to overcome the dark past, the things in my life that would trap me up again. He begins to grow the fruit of the Spirit. the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. All of these things come because God is active in me. His Spirit is growing these things in my life. I get to participate in the life of God, in the divine nature, Him in me to bring a change in my life into this world. So the Christian life is not just about being forgiven so that I can go to heaven when I die. Certainly it is that. It's absolutely the foundation promise. But following Jesus is about being restored to God and having His life enter me. The divine life, the life that created the universe, that fills all things, that life comes to me through the Holy Spirit. The life was given up on the cross and now is given to us by the Holy Spirit, empowering to live this new life He wants us to live. So eternal life, it's not something we wait for. It's something that's already begun, God's life in us, living in this world. This life is a gift. But think about this. You can receive a gift. A few years ago, I got a gift which was a dome card. Like, you know, I can't remember how much was on it, but on the dome card, when I got it, I thought, wow, I can take Rhonda out. We can go for a lunch at the dome, probably at Deepwater Point. You know, you've got the view of the Swan River and all that sort of stuff. I thought, this is fantastic. I've got this free. Someone's given me this gift. It's amazing. 2 years later, I found the card at the bottom of the drawer. I looked at it and it had expired. So I had the gift in my hand, but I didn't take advantage of it. I just neglected it. And so I didn't get the lunch, the coffee and all that stuff. It was fully provided for me. I left it in the drawer, so couldn't access it. God's gift and His life to us is a bit like that. He's given everything. Everything we need for life and godliness, it's like the card. It's totally loaded and it's accessible and valid and you can use it if you want. But it's also easy to leave in a drawer. Peter says we can participate in God's life, in the divine nature. God's own life in us, the gift is there. It's unlimited. But we have to utilize it. We have to access it. We have to take it and say, I want to use this in my life. Otherwise, it gets neglected and put in the drawer, and we don't have access to the benefits. So adding to our faith, growing in all these things that Peter mentions, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. They're all on the card. They're all in the life of God given to us in Christ. We have to access that card. He wants us to grow, wants us to add to our faith, to level up as we go forward. He's paid the price for us to do that. But we are stewards of this. Divine life is given. I don't own that life. I'm a steward of that life. We have the card, the Holy Spirit, the full down payment, totally provided, there for me to access. Our faith journey doesn't have to be like a Space Invaders game, where the enemy fills the screen. It just gets more and more threatening. Life just gets more and more difficult. We battle away without access to more resources, without access to more capacity. Our faith journey is meant to be a growing thing, a moving forward. We can level up. We can access the provision that God has made for us, growing in character and capacity. So here we are, 2023. I wonder, can we think about this year as the year where we access what God has given us rather than leaving it in the drawer? A year when we level up, when we add to our faith, when we draw upon God's help and strength in all the challenges that we're going to face. Let's live this new life. It's made available for us. We can't do it alone. We're going to need brothers and sisters. We're going to need people to challenge us, to speak into our lives. And we're going to need to be sensitive to God, to the things He's going to guide us in, to the areas He wants to grow us in. Let's make 2023 a year we look, well, when we go forward, let's look back on 2023 as one where we added to our faith, one where we took significant steps to grow in Christ, that next year we could look back and say, wow, look what's happened in 2023. I've accessed the grace and the resources that God had for me. So as we approach this new year, as we come upon this new year, I'm going to invite you to share communion together. So you remember on Christmas Day, we talked about the manger. God provided the food that we needed. We had the bread and the cup. The person of Jesus was given to us. Forgiveness, freedom, access to God's life through Christ. So let's eat the bread, his body given for us. Let's access all he has for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in giving your body for us. And the cup. His blood, his life given for us, a new covenant, a new relationship, a new agreement with God, forgiveness and hope and life, the strength to remember him. Would you pray with me? Lord, as 2023 begins, we want to serve you this year. We want to grow in our faith this year. We want to add to our faith all of the good things that Peter says. We want to access all the resources you've given us that are ours through Christ. Help us take them all in, Lord, to turn to you when we struggle, to receive the gifts and the new capacity you have for us this year. Lord, help us to level up. Give us what we need to face the challenges that this year will bring. Lord, areas in our lives, our relationships, our marriages, our families, if we're sick or facing financial challenges, Lord, I pray that we can access your grace. We can access your comfort this year to face those things. Lord, free us from habits that hold us back. May we experience the divine nature, the life of Christ in us. Your life, Lord, that was given up on the cross has now been given to us by the Holy Spirit. May your power change us, guide us, and equip us to live for you in this world this year. May 2023 be whatever happens in this world. We don't know what's going to happen. May it be a year where we level up for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've got one more image. This is the image of the dome card. Remember, Peter says, let's read it. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Let's draw down the balance on that card. The grace of God. There's no limit to it, and we can draw as much as we want to access more of what God has provided so we can level up and add to our faith and grow during this year through all the things. We don't know what's going to come, but Lord, grow us through those things. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you this year online, in church. As part of leveling up, next week we're going to start a series on emotions, of dealing with our feelings. How do we do that well? Because that's part of the growth of working through the things and the issues that we face. God bless you on your journey of walking with Jesus in 2023.